Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
6 minutes past the hour. This is a live radio show on Sunday night. Good evening. I am Walter M. Sterling, and tonight we have Thea Landon to share with us from her new filthy book. Plus, we have a report from the streets of Las Vegas and you. Good evening. Now, Dr. Dave, weather.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Sexual harassment policies at strip clubs. No joking. Strippers on the loose later. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, we're about to find out what the term buff means. And it's not what you think. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Samurai sword wielding psycho in the halls of Walmart. People of Walmart, later, Sterling at night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. We had to drag a giant piano onto the beach at 6 a.m. And today I take the boys to the fabric store.
It's kind of like you're living my life today.
I guess it's art week at the Gaffney's house. Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
I'm a lesbian.
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 The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life. With benefits.
Lesbians in space, almost on the sevens. That means 7, 17, 27, 37, 47, 57. Almost on the sevens every time, if I can barely get close to it. Good evening. This is Kazoo News. It's time for Kazoo News, and the breaking Kazoo News story just came out. I was so shocked to see this and so thrilled that I'm actually on the radio to present this. You won't believe this. Biden, you remember him, calls on snack companies to stop shrinkflation, calling it a ripoff. But when did he announce this? A month ago? 10 months ago? No, today. Today, President Joe Biden on Sunday called on snack companies to stop shrinkflation, which is when businesses cut product sizes to keep prices the same, describing the practice as a ripoff. Some companies are trying to pull a fast one by shrinking the products little by little and hoping you won't notice, Biden said. Give me a break. The American public is tired of being played for suckers. I'm calling on companies to put a stop to this. Let's make sure businesses do the right thing. Remember when he called on gas stations to lower the price of gas? Yeah. Wait. Let's review. Right now, in tunnels in between Israel and Palestine or whatever country that is over there, there are children being held in the tunnels without food or their parents, 10, 11, 12-year-old kids, in dark, windowless tunnels by vicious strangers. And our president is worried about the price of Oreos and the shrinkage of Girl Scout cookies. Remember how the October 7th problem started? That Hamas soldiers showed up in the suburbs of Israel, nice homes. It was about 8 in the morning. Mom was feeding her kids. And people in scary uniforms smashed the windows with the butt of their rifles, grabbed the toddlers being fed, and slashed the kids in front of their mothers. And there's concern about the shrinkage of Oreos. All right, that's Kazoo News. Throughout the evening, I will share with you more Kazoo News stories because it's just unbelievable. I'm like, what? I saw that right before I came on the air. I went, oh, thank God. I get ahead of all these morning shows and these morning zoos. I get the information before any of them do. Not one morning man you're going to hear tomorrow knows the story I just shared with you because they're all drunk in front of the TV worried about football. I have never worried about football. I have no interest in football because I don't understand it. The truth is, I used to say, well, you know, I think it's a dumb sport. I don't know if it's a dumb sport or not because I don't understand it. Many people have tried to explain to me what a down is or what those flags are doing. I have no idea. I can't begin to tell you how many times I have been explained what a down is. I don't know. I actually don't know. What I do know, something far more important than football. Yeah, I hear that. Far more important than football is this. My stomach has started making strange sounds. Have you ever noticed that your stomach starts to make strange sounds? You're going along a couple weeks, a week or two, and you're like, well, wait, I haven't heard that noise before. And my stomach has started making noises I never heard before. And there's no pain or anything, but I'm hearing new sounds. Because we have a special relationship, I brought out a second microphone. And tonight there is a microphone on my stomach, a stomach mic. If my stomach makes any unusual noises throughout the show, you and I will both hear it on the air on these giant radio stations. It's great being on KMBZ FM in Kansas City, and I'll bet you they win. But you know, those of us who are in other parts of the country, WPHT in Philadelphia, many other parts of the country, we're like, we hope both teams lose, right? Both teams should lose. And please notice all of the attention that Taylor Swift is getting. I think that's great. That's fantastic. She deserves the attention. She has earned the attention. But she should act as though she's getting the attention and not trying to blend in with the trailer park people she's in that suite with. No, Taylor should go out, sign autographs, take an autograph line outside of that suite, give away her new album. That's what she's there to promote, her new album. Give it away. Why not? It's a big event. I think it's great that she's there. But Taylor, hey... Fulfill your obligation to being famous. You're famous. People want your autograph. Give me your autograph. Get rid of those guys in suits and earpieces. Give me your autograph. You're more famous than anybody on that football field, so act accordingly. I think that's a fair call. I'm Walter Sterling. Good evening.
I like going on dates, but not consistently. I need breaks.
Today I have a fit.
That's not what I wanted you to hear. Let's see if I can find what I wanted you to hear. No, I didn't want you to hear that. No, this is a tight show.
This Valentine's Day.
Okay, we're going to have amazing Valentine's tips coming up in just seconds. But this is what I wanted you to hear.
So, football. I did that. And I hated it. So all my life, my dad has wanted me and my brothers to do sports. But for reasons unknown and unclear to me, I never really did anything sports-like. So this was my 8th grade year, and I was about 13, and I was 5'6", more or less. And I'm a pretty big boy. I was like 180 pounds. I'm pretty fat. And everyone was telling me to play football. The coach, my dad, other people at school, and in a few cases, random strangers. Like one time I was walking on the beach, and a stranger walked up to me and asked if I played football. It was weird. The guy didn't even, like, have a shirt on. So, eventually, I was convinced to join. So, when I first joined, it was just workouts in the summertime, which I really liked. It was fun. But once school started, it got so, so much worse.
All right. I don't understand football. I used to say I hate football, but the fact is that I don't hate football. I don't know it well enough to hate it. I don't know it well at all. All right, it's 17 past the hour. Time for Lesbians in Space.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Who wears sports bras?
And you know, this is a shared, equal opportunity of an experience for all sapphic and lonely and desperate people of all varieties.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien life with benefits.
Oh, my gosh. 22 past the hour. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling. And coming up, we're going to talk to Michael Harrison, who has just come out with a new record with Gun Hill Road. All right, you feeling old now? Good. The, you know what? You got that Kazoo News bed there. Sean, play that Kazoo News bed, because I have so much Kazoo News on my desk that it's impossible to deal with this. Ready for this? Remember Curtis Sliwa, the founder of the Guardian Angels in New York City, the guy with the beret, you know, middle-aged men with berets running around on the subways yelling at people? Yeah, that guy. Curtis Sliwa believed a man attacked by Guardian Angels was a migrant because he was speaking Spanish. Speaking Spanish in Times Square is enough for Curtis Sliwa to believe you're a dangerous migrant. At least that's what an Associated Press report hints about a controversial live Fox News interview in which Sliwa showed a group of Guardian Angels take down what he said was one of the migrant guys because he was speaking Spanish. All right, Sean, you can take that out. You can get rid of that. We're going to have more Kazoo news because it's just exactly what I want to hear during a football game, which, by the way, is tied in overtime, just so you know. Now, I don't understand football. And for a long time, I said I hate football, but I don't really hate football. I don't understand it enough. What I hated, a remnant of high school, maybe you had this too, I hated football players. Why did I hate them? It wasn't because they got the hot girls. They did. I didn't resent them for that. I actually understood in Darwinian principle why they got the hot girls. That made sense to me. I hated them because they were mean. They were so ravaged by their testosterone and their weightlifting and their having sex with cheerleaders and getting cheerleaders pregnant that when they walked through the hallways, if I was coming toward them, and they always walked in packs. Remember that? The football players in high school, they always walked in packs together. The odds were I was going to be shoved out of their way. Now, if I was lucky, I was just going to be pushed. If I was not lucky, I was going to be slammed against the lockers. And they had the rights to do this. I also resented the fact that when I went to college, to Syracuse University, there was a course called football physics. And there were a series of courses for people on the football team that were super easy. Those guys were going to pass. They weren't going to get an A, but they were going to pass. All right, so I took football physics at Syracuse because I always was curious about physics, and I knew that I had no math ability. But when I was a freshman at college, I had this wacky notion that I should learn things. I can't believe I thought that. I thought I should learn things. I should learn new things. And therefore, I took football physics as a freshman at Syracuse University. It was in a lecture hall, a new lecture hall, because the football players weren't going to sit in the drafty old lecture halls. Now, were they? No, no, no. And, sorry. And, oh, what's that? Whoa, what's that? Whoa. Oh, my gosh, you know. Steam-driven equipment. Well, anyway, so I took football physics. I was sitting in this nice auditorium, comfy chairs, wall-to-wall carpet. The rest of the classrooms at the time at Syracuse University were nothing like that at all. This was a nice air-conditioned room. And the lectures I could understand. I enjoyed it. Well, I enjoyed it. And I could do the homework. And everything was fine until we got to the tests. And it may have been football physics book and lectures and homework, but the tests were definitely not football physics. They were as hard as could be. Those tests could not have been more difficult. They were had nothing to do with what we had heard or were sent to. Therefore, my suspicion is that maybe other people took the tests for the football players, but then again, it wasn't Harvard, so it's hard to tell. Well, I got a D in football physics, and that has forever tainted me against football players. They shoved me against the wall in high school, and then I got a D in football physics in college. But I don't understand the game. Here are the sports I understand. I understand 80% of baseball. I'm sure there's nuance and technical things that only Terry Francona understands. But I understand football. I understand baseball, and I understand bowling. In fact, I was on a bowling league. I have custom-made bowling shoes. I had a custom bowling ball and bag. I was on leagues. I was a good bowler. I wasn't a great bowler. I was not a 300 bowler. I was a decent bowler. But football, and by the way, there's no glory with girls with bowling. None at all. In fact, I'd say it's 10 demerits. Once a lovely couple was trying to connect me with a nice young woman, a very bright, erudite young woman who listened to NPR long before I got married. And we're at dinner, and she says, "Well, what do you like to do?" And I said, "I like to bowl." And I could see the eyes change. I could see the glimmer of horror in her eyes, thinking about why did this nice couple introduce her to Walter, who sort of likes bowling. It's definitely a buzzkill for dating. Have you ever been on a date and heard the guy say, "Well, you know, I'm a really good bowler"? Has that ever come out on a first date? I think most men are smart enough never to mention that, or to mention it as a last recourse if they have nothing else to talk about, because they're not going to pay for the lobster. Coming up, you and I are going to talk to Michael Harrison. Michael runs a publication that you can look up right now called Talkers.com, and it's where all of the losers, I mean all the talk show hosts in America, they look for their names every morning. They feverishly see if they've been quoted. They look to see if they've been fired or who's been hired or which job they didn't get. WBAP, Afternoon Drive. And Michael runs this publication. He has for over 30 years. It has helped define modern talk radio, or some idiots like to call it modern spoken word radio. But I'm very happy he covers commercial radio and barely glances at NPR. But more importantly, Michael is the star of a new song put out by Gun Hill Road. You remember the hippie band from the 70s? Well, they're back, and they've put out a couple great tracks, and we will play the new one coming up. Plus, you and I will talk to Michael Harrison about his many interesting theories about AM radio and the future of AM radio. KMOX, WPHT, KFBK, I am so proud to be on those radio stations. And yet there's a movement afoot in Congress to limit the future of AM radio, either to make it difficult to put it in cars or make it forced to be put in cars, all sorts of many major issues. But you and I are going to have AM radio for quite the time. All right, what have I got? Oh, yes, I want to talk to you. 888-688-WALT is my phone number, 888-688-WALT, and you and I should stay in touch at waltermsterling.com, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Sexual harassment policies at strip clubs. No joking. Strippers on the loose later. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, we're about to find out what the term buff means. And it's not what you think. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Samurai sword wielding psycho in the halls of Walmart. People of Walmart, later, Sterling at night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. We had to drag a giant piano onto the beach at 6 a.m., and today I take the boys to the fabric store.
It's kind of like you're living my life today.
I guess it's art week at the Gaffney's house. Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
So you'd like me to look after your mother for a day to see how I do?
No, my mother is with my sister who's moving abroad, which is why she's coming to stay here for a while.
Mm-hmm. Who would I be looking after then?
Me.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien Life with Benefits.
All right, Michael Harrison is the publisher of Talkers Magazine. You can read it right now at talkers.com, T-A-L-K-E-R-S, talkers.com. It's been around for over 30 years. It is the only accurate and honest coverage of the talk radio industry, which I will not fall into the dirty trap of calling it spoken word stations. No, it's called talk. In Jersey, we call it talk. Enough with this, you know, spoken word. Shut up. Well, Michael Harrison is blessing us on Access 13, for those of you in radio, Access 13 on our Comrex. And Michael has an exciting new song out with Gun Hill Road. Plus, it's World Radio Day this week, and Michael's going to explain that. And then the beauty of talking to Michael Harrison on my network radio show, heard on actual stations, as opposed to other network radio shows, which are heard on subcarriers, is that I don't have to do anything. When Michael Harrison is the guest, I don't have to do anything. I'll say something, and then Michael will start talking, and we will both sound brilliant. That is your gift, Michael.
It sounds like I'm a gas bag.
Okay, we'll run with that. We'll run with that, no problem. What is World Radio Day?
World Radio Day is a gift to radio from the United Nations and its artistic arm, UNESCO. This is the 13th annual one on February 13th, so it's been going on a long time. It's an official UN-designated day, and it is to celebrate radio, its importance, and its history, its future. This year's World Radio Day theme is a century of informing, educating, and entertaining. And that really sums up what radio does and hopefully what radio will continue to do. I say it's a gift to radio because we all know that radio, at least in the U.S., not all over the world, but in the U.S., radio is facing exotic competition from all kinds of media, which most media is facing. It's a noisy, crowded media world right now. And radio, because of a lot of missteps over the past 20, 30 years, has gotten itself in the United States into deep financial debt. As a result, in some cases, radio can't afford to do radio. As a result, it's facing many challenges. So this is a great opportunity with the United Nations giving it its official endorsement for radio broadcasters to crow about the benefits of radio and the positive aspects of it. I'm proud to be part of it. I've served as the executive advisor to the United Nations on this installment of World Radio Day, and I've had a great time. It's also been very educational for me.
What have you learned?
It's been educational. I've learned.
You're one of the smartest people I've ever met. How has this been educational for you, this World Radio Day, as you call it?
I've learned how big the world of radio is as opposed to the nation of radio. Radio is it has many forms around the world. There are many kinds of radio, many kinds of radio operations, big corporate operations, big government operations, community stations, stations that are virtual lifelines to the people of impoverished areas, places stricken by droughts and all kinds of natural disasters. It is, in fact, a lifeline to many people around the world, including in the United States. You know, not everybody has internet. Not everybody has Wi-Fi. Not everybody knows how to use Bluetooth. Not everybody lives in areas where these things are even accessible. So I've learned all this. I knew a lot of it, but the world is a big place. And when you start getting involved on a global level with any type of a an art form or a communications form, you realize that the United States, as grand and as mighty as it is and as wonderful as our nation is, it is in many ways provincial. And I find that people around the world know more about what's happening here than we know about what's happening there. And I think that's problematic. So I've learned a lot.
Well, all you have to do is ask Americans, name the Premier of Canada and the President of Mexico.
And there you go.
And there you go. And you will learn just... Meanwhile, in Mexico and Canada, they know the name of the president of the United States. And about Bluetooth, nobody knows how to work Uconnect in their car. It is never a home run with Uconnect in their car. And one of the things I've learned about Uconnect in the car, and others have confirmed this, the cheaper the car, the better the Uconnect.
Isn't that interesting? Maybe all of that fancy schmancy electrical stuff causes problems. Or well, you know the saying, if your car has too many bells and whistles, one, you may not need them, and two, there's more things to go wrong.
My father refused to get power windows throughout my childhood because, quote, it's just something to break. It's another thing to break, cost a fortune to fix. That's why we didn't have power windows. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize later, till much later, the reason we didn't have power windows is he didn't want to pay for the power windows.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well,
now, Michael Harrison is working with the United Nations on World Radio Day as a Midnight Misfit. How do I participate? How do we participate in World Radio Day? What do we do? Where do we go?
Well, you can go to the United Nations UNESCO page. I'm just out of my Super Bowl party. I don't have any idea how it wound up, so I don't have that.
It isn't done.
I don't have that website with
me. Yeah, it isn't done.
But
the Super Bowl isn't done.
Just go to the United Nations. But participating in it is simple. I mean, at this point, it's coming up on Tuesday, and this is Sunday. So it's more of something broadcasters should be doing than listeners should be doing. I've produced for radio stations around the world, at least English-speaking ones, a set of 21-minute World Radio Day minutes, which kind of overviews the history and the present and the future of radio, which has been a lot of fun for me. 13 different ways. We have a list of the ways radio stations could get involved. But basically, the idea is just to acknowledge the importance, the vitality, and an optimistic view of the future of radio in general, and that's basically what it's about. You mentioned in introducing me that I'm a member of a band called Gun Hill Road.
I'm getting Michael. I'm a good host. I'm getting there next. Michael is part of Gun Hill Road, a band from the 70s that had big hits, and now they have put out new songs. And Michael Harrison is the lead, the star of their latest release. Tell me about that.
Okay, well, I'm one of two lead singers on it, so I don't want to hog credit because that's the quickest way to ruin a group. The group consists of Steve Goldrich, Paul Reich, Brian Coonan, and me, Michael Harrison. And Paul Reich is technically the lead singer. It's only a two-minute song. It's sort of a glorified public service announcement about radio. It's called Over the Radio Waves. And I do a segment in the middle of it in which I actually perform a rap solo. Now, I've done singing. I've done limited amount of singing on Gun Hill Road records. Gun Hill Road has been making records since the early 70s. The songs that I'm involved in are basically message songs, and that's why they get a lot of airplay on talk radio. We get very little airplay, if any, on music radio, but talk radio loves Gun Hill Road because we have songs about idiocy. We have songs about animal welfare. We have songs about what it's like to be a starving actor in a harsh, cold media world in New York. And we have more coming out. We got songs about scammers. We got songs about the dangers of artificial intelligence. It's really quite a creative band. This song is about radio, and it's called Over the Radio Waves, and I do a rap segment.
Well, Sean, you got it ready. Let's listen to that Gun Hill Road song with Michael Harrison. Go.
Radio on. Now the day has just begun. Voices in the air, rising with the morning sun. I go about my day, and I know that I belong. The signal's strong, and we all stand together over the radio waves.
World Radio Day. So save the date. United Nations and UNESCO are going to celebrate, inform, entertain, and educate into its second century. A lifeline called diverse diversity. Now more than ever universally. Audio messages around the wheel through the electromagnetic field. Radio is important like never before. February 13, 2024. Mark it on your calendar and don't delay. Let's all celebrate World Radio Day. Tune in to hear what everybody's got to say.
Times can be tough when you're far away from town, but still I hear your voice, and there's comfort in the sound. I listen as I go, the words and music free my soul, and I feel whole. And we all stand together over the radio waves. And we all stand together over the radio waves. And we all stand together over the radio waves.
Michael Harrison is the publisher of Talkers. He's a lead performer on a brand new Gun Hill Road record, which is really good, Michael. That's the best one. The one I just heard, that was the best one. And then, as a gift to you, Michael, we have a regular misfit who lives in Fairbanks, who lives in North Pole, Alaska, with our Fairbanks affiliate, and he is on with us. Keith Fonz in Fairbanks, Alaska. You're talking to Michael Harrison, famous publisher in America and now a member of Gun Hill Road. Hello, Keith.
Hey, how are you guys tonight?
Keith sounds like an Alaskan. That's why I have him on almost every week. He also knows how to kill people with his thumb, and I'm afraid of him. Keith, Michael and I have a question for you about this. Alaska confirms first fatal case of Alaska pox. Do you know about this?
Yeah, we saw that in the news this week.
Tell us what Alaska pox is.
I'm not educated on that part of it, but I know
Keith, no matter what I ask you about Alaska, you never actually know anything about Alaska. How is that possible? You live in Fairbanks. You live in the North Pole. You can see Santa's workshop. But any time I ask you anything, you always say, oh, well, that's a different part of Alaska. So let me sum this up. Alaska health officials confirmed the state's first fatal case of Alaska pox, a recently discovered viral disease. An elderly, immunocompromised man, that means fat, from Kenai, how do you pronounce that? Kenai Peninsula. How do you say that?
Kenai Peninsula.
Thank you. That you got. Kenai Peninsula, south of Anchorage, died while undergoing treatment in late January, the Anchorage Daily News reported. How threatened is your family by the Alaska pox?
Here, we're not. You know, Alaska is by far bigger than the whole entire lower 48. So it, and our population, we only have like 700,000 people in this whole state. So we are spaced out like hundreds of miles away from other communities. So until it reaches, you know, in our local community, we don't see an issue with it.
All right. Michael Harrison, do you have a question for Keith Fonz, who is a Alaskan, a real Alaskan at the North Pole?
A question? Yeah,
yes.
Why not?
Yes.
Where were you born?
Denver, Colorado.
When did you go to Alaska?
We moved our family up here. We've been up here 8 years now.
Why?
My wife, she has severe MS, so we decided to move closer to part of her family, and her family lives here in North Pole, and we figured, why not?
Are you happy there?
It's a small town. I'm used to big cities, but I've adjusted, and I love this little, you know, small town. It's got that community feel. Everybody comes together. Everybody looks out for everybody, and we don't deal with 99% of the issues or the drama that a lot of the major cities in the lower 48 deals with.
So, final question. What's the importance of radio to you?
Well, here, you know, being out in the middle of nowhere, AM, FM radio, that to me is always a plus. You know, that's where I get news. That's where I get my radio, my entertainment. And, you know, it's always been dependable. I'm 43 years old, and I've listened to radio pretty much my whole life.
You're what? How old are you?
Dependable.
Wait, how
43.
Old are you? You are the youngest listener of this radio station. There is no listener younger than you. Michael Harrison, I love the Gun Hill Road song. Congratulations. I'll plug it for the rest of the show.
Can I get Keith one plug? Overtheradiowaves.com. Check out the video. It's cool. Overtheradiowaves.com. Thank you, Walter.
Overtheradiowaves.com. It is cool. It's fantastic. Keith Fonz, you're a great friend of the show. I am grateful to both of you. Coming up, Thea Landon will read a segment from her new filthy, smutty book, Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Sexual harassment policies at strip clubs. No joking. Strippers on the loose later. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, we're about to find out what the term buff means. And it's not what you think. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Samurai sword wielding psycho in the halls of Walmart. People of Walmart, later, Sterling at night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. We had to drag a giant piano onto the beach at 6 a.m. And today I take the boys to the fabric store.
It's kind of like you're living my life today.
I guess it's art week at the Gaffney's house tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Who wears sports bras?
Mrs. Bougeau, are you trying to seduce me? Genevieve. Mm-hmm. Your husband's in the next room. I saw you looking at me. Please tell me I wasn't wrong. I can't lose my job. I can't afford to lose my job. Trust me. You won't lose your job.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien life with benefits.
All right, Lesbians in Space on the sevens, almost the sevens, 07, 17, 27, 37, hike, 47, 57, Lesbians in Space, almost on the sevens. And Thea Landon, the reason we have Lesbians in Space is because research shows there are three things that Midnight Misfits want to hear at this hour. They want to hear about lesbianism. They want to hear about UFOs in outer space and sports. Those are the only three things. So we have lesbians in space who wear sports bras. That's what we've got, Thea Landon. Welcome to the Giant Radio Show. It's always an honor to have you. Every week I promise myself to have you on the show. But here's what we have to do, Thea. You will be on the show every week when you buy a USB microphone to plug into your computer. Can this be an investment of the Landon household?
You're going to laugh at me. I bought one. I'm looking at it right now. It's sitting on my shelf. But as you said, I just have to plug it in and figure out how to work it and make myself sound better than I probably sound right now.
No, you sound fine now, because what we're going to do with that microphone is you're going to record MP3 files. You're going to pre-record MP3 files. And then geniuses will take those files and produce them up and make you sound even better. But it has to start with that microphone, and I'm glad that you have spiritually invested in this adventure. You have a new book out, Thea Landon. What's the name of the book?
I do. It is called The Edge of the Sphere, and it is a fantasy romance, because that genre, which has now been shortened to romantasy, is all the rage, and finally, I seem to have hit something at the right time.
Oh, my gosh. Finally, Thea Landon is at the cutting edge of a trend. Is that what I've just heard?
I certainly hope so, anyway.
What's the name of the book?
The Edge of the Sphere.
Do you have a sample of that that you could share with us tonight?
I do. Just let me know when you're ready.
I am ready. I will start the cheesy music. And you may begin the sample whenever you want.
Thank you. Stephen wanted to tell her he was beyond feeling sorry for himself, and he had no need for pity from others. From the expression in her eyes, though, he imagined that instead of focusing on his weaknesses, she could see his inner strength. Motivated by this belief, he found the courage to slip his hand behind her neck and duck his head toward hers. Her kiss was as sweet and tender as he remembered. Gentle affection was soon replaced by a more heated urgency as the threat of being abruptly separated at any moment loomed overhead. He buried his fingers in her hair, keeping her as close as he could before she would be yanked away. She, in turn, wrapped her arms around his shoulders, her hands roaming his body while entangled in their frantic embrace. Though his eyes were closed, the world spun around him, and he was intoxicated by their shared passion. Leora pulled away. As he opened his eyes and was about to protest, she moved into his lap. He tried to return his lips to hers, but was denied with a shake of her head. With a coy smile, she reached up and unfastened the closure of her violet cloak, letting it slip off her shoulders into the grass. The shimmering silk gown she wore underneath clung to her every curve. A familiar sensation stirred within his body. He could do nothing but take in the view of her long neck, her bare shoulders, and the swell of her chest mere inches away from his face. As he sat frozen in place, her fingers crept up to the top button of his shirt, and she set out to remove the hindrance. A rush of heat spread throughout him, and he could no longer resist her tempting mouth. He drew her into him again, and she crashed against his chest. Hands explored wildly, not knowing where to go next, and grasped onto anything which would keep them together. Her body was warm and alive and brimming with energy, and he yearned for the intimate touch he had been missing for so long. Skin met skin, and hearts beat together in a uniform rhythm. As much as he could have let her leave him gasping for air for as long as he could stand it, he needed to know more of her. He forced himself to tear his lips away from hers and kissed a path down to the base of her neck. Her breath caught in her throat, and she squirmed in his lap, providing him with all the extra encouragement he needed. He slipped the strap of her dress off one shoulder. I think that's all I dare share before the two of us get into trouble tonight.
The great Thea Landon, not only is the topic matter unbeatable, but you are a really good writer. I've never told you that before, but I'm listening to that and I'm like, Jackie Suzanne has nothing on you, Thea. You're a really good writer. It is an honor to have you on the show. I will send you information on how to make that microphone work. I met your beleaguered husband when you visited us in studio, like they say in news stations, in studio. And he seemed to pretty much hide under the desk.
Well, he doesn't like being in the spotlight, which is fair.
Whereas you crave it.
Well, no one's seeing my face right now, which helps a little, but I'm trying to get more comfortable.
You should be very comfortable. Now, Thea posts on X all the time. What handle do you use on X?
I post under my name to keep it easy, Thea Landon, and that's L-A-N-D-E-N.
You want to follow Thea Landon, L-A-N-D-E-N, on X. Her posts are hysterical, and I thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. Have a great week. Have a wonderful Valentine's Day. Yes, you are primed for Valentine's Day. That's what you do. So thank you very much, Thea. Thanks so much. All right, it's 16 past the hour, 17 past the hour. You know what that means. It's time for Lesbians in Space.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Who wears sports bra?
Oh, no. We can't do this again.
Yeah, it's a horrible mistake.
Well, I wouldn't say horrible.
I'm agreeing with you.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien life with benefits.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardized that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to talk a little bit about a term you'll hear being tossed around any NYPD facility or precinct. And that term is buff. In my time or era, a guy that was a buff is often someone that's a security guard, a mall cop, volunteer firemen, EMTs, and or a notary. Buffs are the kind of people that they like to get close to the action, but for whatever reason, be it physical or psychological reasons, they weren't able to become a police officer or fireman, so the next best thing is to become a volunteer. And these people, their hearts are in the right places. They'll put themselves in harm's way, try to help somebody, often stopping at the side of the road to change a tire or get involved when someone's getting robbed. But oftentimes what you'll see with the NYPD is our auxiliary cops, which they were buffs, would often put themselves in precarious situations where they wanted to help, but they really didn't know the law or they weren't physically fit enough, and they would get in over their head, and oftentimes they would get beat up and even sometimes arrested when they swam out too far and got involved in things that they had no business getting involved in. And it was funny. We would call them buffs. And I remember a couple of times our sergeant lecturing the auxiliaries, telling them, listen, guys, you're out there to be like wooden Indians in a cigar store. Please, for the love of God, don't get involved in anything. But that was easier said than done, because oftentimes the minute they walked out of the station house, you'd hear them screaming into the radio for help. They'd be chasing somebody or would get involved in something that they had no business getting involved in, which meant usually the precinct cops would have to get them out of whatever they've gotten themselves into. Now, the term buff isn't just limited to civilians that like the newest equipment. The term buff can also mean a police officer who has to have the newest equipment. You could spot these guys. They're usually sitting in the radio car in their spare time reading Soldier of Fortune magazine or police equipment magazines. You'll see them in the police equipment stores. They always have the newest leather material. They're the ones that are going to show you their new 10 million candle power flashlight that'll give you cataracts if they shine it into your face. They carry the Leatherman tool, which is supposed to do everything from opening up a can of tuna fish to breaking the window of a car that's flipped into the water and you need to get the driver out. So the term cuts both ways. It can mean for someone in civilian world that wants to get involved and help, and it can also mean a cop that's just a little bit too much into their job. So for more interesting police stories, please check out my new book, NYPD, Laughing in the Line of Duty.
The smartest people just bet on games like the Super Bowl and on football. They don't actually watch it. So I know that people listening to me, you misfit, you are smart, but did you bet? I want to know how your betting went. Did you win big? Did you win any money? You're driving back from the bar right now. I mean, you weren't at the bar, but your designated driver is driving back. How was your betting? What did you bet? How did you do? 888-688-WALT. Live on Sunday night. This is Sterling on Sunday. Welcome. 888-688-WALT. Everybody in Kansas City on KMBZ, 98.1, KMBZ, 98.1. Some program directors like The Point. Some of them don't. I know Dan Gaffney is very fussy about that. He wants it to be Delaware 105.9. Maybe Alan First, who's more sophisticated than the rest of us, calls it 98.1. I really don't know. All I know is that right now, on the plaza in Kansas City, there are thousands of drunks, just crazed people right now. Did you bet on the Super Bowl? How did you do? 888-688-WALT. And again, this goes to being a real man. I don't understand downs. I don't understand flags. I don't understand it. But what I do know is that on the long list of mistakes by the NFL, they got rid of cheerleaders. This should have never happened. There are cheerleaders in college football. They seem to be surviving and graduating. Kids seem to be doing all right. But now there is a cheerleader for football. But there is exactly one. There's one gorgeous blonde who's the cheerleader for all of football, Taylor Swift. Part of the reason she is so embraced is that with the elimination of cheerleaders by the NFL, screaming female fans, well-dressed female fans, have been banished from all NFL stadiums. They don't exist. Instead, we have stupid mascots. Nobody likes the mascot. Sorry. I mean, if you're under that costume and you're one of those, well, good for you. I hope you're getting a check. But I think it is spectacular that Taylor Swift was at that game and has been at that game and is hogging the camera, because she's the only gorgeous woman at an NFL game who is regularly on ever since the ridiculous elimination of cheerleaders. They should have never been eliminated. But I want to know, did you bet on the Super Bowl? How did you do? 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. And I always find the street activity, I always find the large gatherings outside of a stadium in a city to be far more interesting than anything that happens in a stadium. The nonsense in your basement over the big game, it, to me, is a lot more interesting than anything that happened at the big game. That's why Kendall Toby is on the streets of Las Vegas and will join us coming up in just seconds. But again, going to not being a real man, I don't understand how the scoring works in football. I also don't understand how to bet. I know all of these big media companies who give me the privilege of being on their radio stations have invested money in sports betting radio. Let's do entire radio stations that just talk about sports betting. Yeah, that's like numerology. If I want to flood these phones, if I want to make 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258, if I want to make it light up, all I have to do is put on a numerologist. And what will the numerologist do? Oh, you're this and this, your number is 9. And the 8 people whose number is 9 are thrilled, and you get a false positive that this is a great topic to have on numerologists. Yeah, all 10 lines will light up, and I'll think billions of people are listening. Meanwhile, the only people listening are the 9-10 people online. And I think that's what it's like with sports radio, sports betting radio. Am I wrong? I don't understand how the sports betting went, but I want to know how you did. How did you do on the betting for the Super Bowl? 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. Plus, tonight we have Kazoo News, where I'm going to share with you some of the stories that I found particularly intriguing, such as all of the toll roads in America that had record revenue in the past 12 months. Toll roads which should not exist. There shouldn't be any toll roads. These roads were paid for 50, 60, 80 years ago, paid off many times. Most of the money that gets collected from you and me goes to paying off debt of the bonds that were raised. My father gave me one great piece of advice about voting. Any bond, vote no. If they want to raise a bond, no matter what it's for, you vote no. And I have voted no for bonds ever since, because it's just debt. But the fact is that you think, well, you know, I'm paying the toll so they can maintain the road. That's not where it goes. The road maintenance comes from the gasoline taxes. It doesn't come from your toll. But how'd you do in betting tonight? How'd you do? Did you do okay? Here's my number, 888-688-WALT. Call me, 888-688-9258, live, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Sexual harassment policies at strip clubs. No joking. Strippers on the loose later. Sterling at night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. We had to drag a giant piano onto the beach at 6 a.m. And today I take the boys to the fabric store.
It's kind of like you're living my life today.
I guess it's Art Week at the Gaffney's house tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Samurai sword-wielding psycho in the halls of Walmart. People of Walmart, later, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bra?
You should ask Mallory out on a date.
Okay.
What? You should.
Okay. Okay, yes, I will.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. You're not going to, are you?
Probably not. No.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
This Valentine's Day, take your passenger princess to a premier world-class restaurant. Quick trip. We've won 5 James Beard Awards.
A bearded man named James.
Excuse me. A bearded man named James has just won 5 rewards points. Check out our hand-breaded fried chicken. While you're here, be sure to enjoy a romantic walk in the beer cave, a slow dance down the beef jerky aisle, and a scenic drive through the car wash. You just can't beat the atmosphere. Prefer to bring the 5-star restaurant to you with a take-home meal? We won't tell your sweetie you got them for only $5 each. Although she's from the Midwest, that may earn you points. And if you forgot to get her a gift, we've got gourmet chocolate, too. I'm not a relationship expert, but I have a feeling this is going to be your best Valentine's Day yet. But you better throw in some cheese curds just to be safe.
All right, good evening, Walter Sterling. Sterling on Sunday, a live network radio show. That's right, we're live. Nothing else is live. You think the Gold Show is live? The new Annuities and You show is live? Of course not. There's Kendall Toby on the streets of Las Vegas, the home of KXNT, a radio station that I'm so proud to be on because they air it 100% live and I never hear from them. I have never heard from any manager of KXNT. That is the model affiliate. Kendall Toby, you're in Las Vegas. Share with us the mood tonight.
Hey, Walter. Yes, everybody is, it's so crazy out here on the Strip. Everyone is going insane. We're having so many people celebrating, and I have never felt an energy quite like this before, being in the heart of the Super Bowl. It's incredible.
Were you surprised about the results of the game?
Well, I'm a lot like you. I'm not really into football or sports, so not really.
Right. Now, how did you feel about Taylor being the centerpiece of the game?
You know, I think that I know a lot of people are mad about her being the centerpiece of the game, but I think she's really sweet. I think she's I love her romance. And I think that she's like America's sweetheart. And I think it's so sweet that their little relationship. I know a lot of people don't like it, but I don't mind when they show her on the TV.
I don't think there's anybody who doesn't like her who isn't just incredibly jealous of that relationship. And the fact is that the NFL, if there's any criticism, the NFL did it themselves because they eliminated cheerleaders. Now we have a beautiful blonde to look at on camera at football games. This is the first time in at least 15 years there have been beautiful blondes cheering for the game.
Yeah, I really like it. You know, I know Usher was the halftime show, but I kind of wish that she played the halftime show. That would have been so sweet.
No way in hell was she going to play the halftime show. Because the boyfriend would have suddenly, it would have crossed the line of egos. Right now, their streams are not crossing. Their ego streams are not crossing like in Ghostbusters. But, you know, now they're all on their own track. They're both incredibly successful on their own. The minute she steps on that field, that relationship is over.
Uh-oh.
The minute he comes out on the Eros tour to sing a chorus, that relationship will be over.
I'd love to see that.
No, I think that the NFL screwed up when they eliminated cheerleaders. And I think that Kelsey's brother screwed up when he took off his shirt 2 weeks ago in the middle of the game. No, it was hideous. And and Taylor was shocked. There he was in the VIP suite, and he takes off his shirt, jumps out of the suite, and cheers like an animal. I could see Taylor thinking, oh my God, this is trailer trash. These really are. He's got $1 million, but it's really trailer trash. Now, what else do you have to report for us from the streets of Vegas?
Well, Walter, the famous Budweiser Clydesdales horses were out here, and I just took some pictures of them. That was a lot of fun. I love horses more than I love football, so for me, that was the most exciting part of the Super Bowl coming to town. And it was really awesome because the horses, they all went around and they made a delivery of beer to the Smith's grocery store, and it was really cool because then they surprised the manager of Smith's with a Super Bowl ticket, and I thought it was so special to see that.
They have a lot of recovering to do. Therefore, Bud Light has, they have a lot of tickets that they have to be giving away. Now, Kendall, your mother was on this incredible Zoom call that we had with Colette about our trip to the French Riviera, our bucket list trip to the Riviera coming up in the middle of October this year. And I want you to participate, you meaning every Midnight Misfit, because I have dreamed for years of coming up with a way to meet Midnight Misfits. And when your mom was on that call, and then your mom said, I've put together a group of my friends, and we're thinking of where to tour and when. Kendall, you have to convince your mother that this is the right trip to be coming with us to the French Riviera in October. Did she enjoy the Zoom call? Did she enjoy meeting me in particular?
Oh, yes. She loved it. She learned a lot about your trip on the Zoom call, and I know she's really excited about it. She's telling everybody in her group all about it, and it is a trip of a lifetime. I think everyone is going to have such an amazing time.
Here's the trip. It's 9 days and 9 nights on the French Riviera. We're going to stay at one hotel in Nice. One of the things that I was afraid of with a group vacation was that I'd have to go to many different hotels. No. We check into one hotel for 9 nights in Nice and then fan out from there to the flower market, to the winery. We go to Monaco. Monaco is where I got engaged. There's a photo on this brochure that was made by Colette for the Sterling listeners, a picture of me and my wife seconds after we got engaged. And yet 22 years later, shockingly, we're still engaged. And and we have three beautiful daughters. But it all started, it all started on the shores of Monaco. It was an incredible trip. We're going to go all through the French Riviera. This is the bucket list trip. And you think, oh, it must be a fortune. No. I know what a week at the Jersey Shore costs. I know what a week in South Beach, Miami costs. I know what a week in Santa Monica costs. This is cheaper. To be able to tell your friends forever that you went to the French Riviera as they clink jelly glasses while you clink champagne glasses, this is the trip of a lifetime. Get the information. You can send me an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com, with your real address, and I will personally mail this brochure to you. Or easier, go to waltersterlingshow.com, and right at the top of the homepage, there's a link and a picture of the Mediterranean. Just click on that, and you get all the information. You don't have to sign up. Just get the information. This is in October. But the slots are going fast, and you want to sign up for it. Kendall, what else is happening in Las Vegas?
I want to sign up for it.
Well, you better. And you better tell your mother. She's got to pull together that tour. And your mother's beautiful, by the way.
Oh, you're so sweet. I was just thinking about her. You said you went to Syracuse, and that's where she went, too. You guys have a lot in common.
Did she go there on parole, or did she go to school there?
There
was it like the forestry school? What did she take there? Where'd she go?
Mass communications.
Did she? She went to Newhouse.
Yes, I Newhouse. Yeah. So that was a really cool synchronicity with you two.
What was her goal?
Broadcasting and news. She worked in news and broadcasting. Yeah.
Where'd she do that?
She did some of it in Sacramento.
Right.
Where I was born. Right? Yeah.
Well, to get on the air in Sacramento means she was darn good.
Yes.
Kendall Toby, we look forward to your report next week from Vegas. Thank you for the Super Bowl report. I appreciate it very much. Thank you for being on Sterling on Sunday. Thank you, Kendall. Oh, my gosh, look at that. It's 47 past the hour. Time for Lesbians in Space.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Who wears sports bra?
You should ask Mallory out on a date.
Okay.
What? You should.
Okay. Yes, I will.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. You're not going to, are you?
Probably not. Oh. No.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien life with benefits.
We are afraid of your reaction to the truth. Oh, my gosh.
Do you realize that because of you, this city is being overrun by baboons?
Well, isn't that the fault of the voters?
Good night, my dear. And don't forget my name. My name is Baba Yaga.
Yeah. Fox News has canceled My Pillow. All I know is the commercials have been canceled. All of our anything with My Pillow or Mike Lindell canceled on Fox News. And please help us to support us and during this time of cancellation.
I don't know why it's so slow. Everything's slow tonight. Why is
the government was sitting on this giant stockpile of processed cheese that was in some cave in Kansas. Hundreds of millions of pounds. And it was starting to turn kind of gross.
We've got 60 million of these. We can't find a market for it.
Do you know, I love it when I hear, quote, celebrities say, if such and such happens, I'm going to move to Canada. If this happens, if this person's elected, I'm going to move to Canada. I'm going to leave and I'm going to go to Canada. They never once say whether or not, one, Canada wants them, or two, even if Canada will let them in.
Hello, Americans.
It's us, Canadians.
We heard a lot of you are mad about your presidential election.
So mad you're threatening to move to Canada.
And from the bottom of our hockey playing, Degrassi binging.
Timmy Hortons, double-double, sipping hearts, please.
Don't move to Canada.
Don't move to Canada.
Déménagez pas au Canada.
It's way harder than you think.
It won't solve your problems.
And deep down, you don't really want to.
Or deserve to, eh?
Opposing Donald Trump or hating Hillary Clinton doesn't really make you a political refugee.
It makes you a Twitter user.
And we have enough of those already.
And even if you were a refugee, we barely take refugees in.
Canada is still America's beret, but it's no longer a liberal paradise.
Our version of Donald Trump was prime minister for the last decade.
You want to have fun? Search any country and look up what it takes to become a citizen in that country. Let's do an easy one. In Canada. You want to become a citizen of Canada? This is what you have to... Who did I sound like just now? This is what it takes. You have to be a permanent resident for at least 5 years. Of those 5 years, you have to file taxes in Canada for at least 3 and owe no money. Then, and this is the kicker, this is the one I love, you have to prove proficiency in either French or English, the two official languages of Canada. You have to prove proficiency in one of those languages. Now, let's say you want to move to Somalia. If you want to move to Somalia, you have to have established residency for at least 10 years. You have to have committed no illegal acts. And you have to prove you're a Muslim. That's if you want to move there. If you want to move to Eritrea, an African country, if you want to move to Eritrea, northeast Canada, northeast Africa, if you want to live in Eritrea, you have to have established a residence for 20 years if you move there after 1954. Residence for 20 years. You have to speak Eritrean fluently, committed no bad acts, and not have participated in any way in the rebellion. I don't know what rebellion it is, but you have to prove that you did not participate in the rebellion and you have no criminal record. That's if you want to move to Eritrea. My hunch is it's not a country you even want to visit. That is where Madonna adopted a child from Eritrea. That's where her kid came from. 20 years, be a Muslim, speak Eritrean, and have done nothing wrong. Then they'll consider you for citizenship. How's that compared to becoming a citizen here? My gosh. All right. Did you bet on the Super Bowl? How did that go? How'd you do? I want to know. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. Did you bet on the Super Bowl? How did it go? 888.
Good night, my dear. And don't forget my name. My name is Baba Yaga.
888-688-WALT.
Do you realize that because of you, this city is being overrun by baboons?
Well, isn't that the fault of the voters?
Oh, it's 57 past the hour. Time for Lesbians in Space.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Who wears sports bra?
I mean, I looked in the mirror and then I saw you and I was like, damn, we need to be best friends.
I did the same thing, actually.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien life with benefits.
Dave Scott, who's an expert on all things UFOs, coming up in just seconds. Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession. Capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Sexual harassment policies at strip clubs. No joking. Strippers on the loose later. Sterling at night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. We had to drag a giant piano onto the beach at 6 a.m. And today I take the boys to the fabric store.
It's kind of like you're living my life today.
I guess it's art week at the Gaffney's house tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Samurai sword wielding psycho in the halls of Walmart. People of Walmart later, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll free line 888-688-WALT.
Andrea. For months, she was studying for her master's degree between dancing, naked, at strip clubs all over Seattle. Sadly, she was sexually harassed, assaulted, and slapped by customers. Andrea was never going to take this lying down, so here's what she did. She started a movement. A movement to protect exotic dancers from unwanted sexual harassment. Andrea's theme, sex work is work. Strippers are workers too. Sadly, Andrea, while getting her master's degree, seems to ignore the fact that her entire career is built on sexual harassment. It's the last place on earth a man can go and say cheeky things to a wonderful lady named Tasha. The stripper should be taken care of with much respect, but yeah, this is degrading enough. Hey, honey, get over yourself. From the champagne room, this is Strippers on the Loose. I'm Velo Hool, Sterling at night.
Dave Scott, who's an expert on all things UFO, all things extraterrestrial, which I still don't know how to spell, even though I know how to say better than most people. How do Canadians, you claim to be Canadian, how do Canadians view the Super Bowl?
Well, I would say that a number of millions are watching it. The only thing we get really upset with is because we don't get the American commercials. And, you can only watch so many commercials of foot fungus and things like that. It gets a little boring.
You only get the boring Canadian commercials.
Yes, because we don't like to be too hypeful up here.
No. Were you surprised at the outcome tonight of the Super Bowl, the Kansas City winning in overtime? Were you surprised by that?
No. If I put my old sports journalist hat on, I knew Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes would have something up their sleeves heading into the fourth quarter. And then in overtime, you knew if you looked at Patrick Mahomes on the sidelines, he looked so relaxed. And it's like, hey, let's just go get this done.
If
They hadn't won. Do you think Travis Kelce would be having sex? Travis Kelce would be having sex with Taylor Swift right now. You know he's having sex with Taylor Swift right now.
I don't think he's even out of his gear yet, but I have a good feeling that your sources are 100% on that, that there will be some loving in the Kelce hotel room tonight.
Well, that's right, they're in Vegas, and I don't think he has a room. I think he has a floor. Don't you? Whatever hotel it is, I'm sure he has a floor. Unless they have a hold up in Taylor's jet. Maybe they went out to her jet. Now, that would be a pretty cool move.
Hey, isn't it everybody's fantasy to join the Mile High Club?
Did you ever do that, Dave Scott? Did you ever join the Mile High Club?
Dude, I could barely fit into those bathrooms by myself. I'm a pretty stocky guy, you know, so putting another person in there, not going to work too well.
In the old days, the bathrooms were much bigger, and the Mile High Club was not as elusive a goal. Today, you can't get in there. I can't get in there, much less bringing along a fun time partner.
You know what? This is something to complain to the airlines about. Not only is the legroom getting a little too close to each other in the cargo bay in the back, but the bathrooms, you know, I mean, if you can't have fun in the bathroom, where can you have?
I have such romantic memories of the first 10 years that I flew for a living. For most of my career, I was on airplanes half the year, and I loved it. I loved airports. I loved airplanes. I loved airport lounges. And then the worst thing happened. They computerized the upgrade system. It used to be that if you went up to the counter and you were in a suit and you were pleasant to the person behind the counter and nobody was around to hear you, or you brought them cigars or yogurt or both, and you said, hey, listen, I'm old and I'm tired. You think you could upgrade me? They would. Now they can't. They have to do it by computer. The computer keeps track of who gets upgraded. The computer decides if somebody's going to get upgraded. And then worse, Dave Scott, worse, airlines like Delta have scaled back their frequent flyer programs dramatically. People who used to be, you know, gold, silver, executive platinum were instantly put up front. Now they're sitting in coach. It is a horrible system. My question is there UFO alien news this week that Midnight Misfits need to pay attention to?
Yes, actually, we got a couple breaking stories for you. I thought you'd be excited about this because, you know, I mean, we are in the entertainment business of breaking news. MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, which has been around for almost 60 years as a reporting site for people who see UFOs or claim to have alien abductions, well, their website was hacked, along with MUFON Canada. Now, to this day, they still cannot get into their CMS system. The good news is no personal data has been touched. Somebody has gone in there, locked them out, and they're not sure where the hack is coming from. But it's very interesting that this hack is targeting UFOs, because my insiders that I've talked to, Walter, if we throw on a little tinfoil under our head, is that the U.S. government has actually launched a counterintelligence program regarding UFOs. They want to shut this subject up. They are tired of the news. They are tired of the pressure, and they are tired of everything. They want to hold on to their secrets, and I think, you know, I have no evidence of this whatsoever, but I think this may have been an inside job.
Well, who would inside job? Now, I know MUFON, and I've had the head of MUFON New York City, the New York City region. I've had him on Sterling on Sunday a number of times, and I really enjoyed it. Now, it's been a couple of years. I don't know. Maybe he's been abducted. I don't know. But why would there be an inside job at MUFON? These are people who keep secrets. Why would they steal their own secrets?
Well, it's not MUFON stealing it, but I think this may be from the U.S. counterintelligence, because we know that going into the Schumer amendment back in December, the Schumer-Rounds amendment, where they wanted full disclosure of UFO reports, we know that four different Republican senators shot down the bill and basically wiped it out because they didn't want any secrets getting out to the public. Now, this is where we separate UAP from UFOs. Okay, to me, UAP, the unidentified anomalous phenomena, is more or less man-made objects that they don't want us to see that they know they're flying or playing with up in the sky. And I think UFOs, obviously, are UFOs. Now, the reason why they want to shut this down, what I'm hearing, is because they are tired of the pressure that the UFO public, along with outlets like News Nation and the New York Times, putting pressure on them from real-life journalists about what secrets the U.S. government is holding. And they don't want that anymore. Now, what I'm hearing is they do have craft. They do have non-human intelligence that they have alleged bodies from places like Roswell and other crash retrieval sites. And they are tired of it because, look, they're trying to reverse engineer this stuff. They're trying to figure out a way how they can use it for their own, not the good of the world or the good of the 10 billion people on this planet or 8 billion people on this planet. They want to know how to militarize anything from anti-gravity to their propulsion systems, so how these craft can go from, you know, way up in space and still go at 600-700 miles an hour under the water.
What do you think the outcome will be, Dave Scott?
Well, I think MUFON's going to play it down. I actually got contacted by a law representative by them on Friday asking me to put an update out because they were trying to say that my report that I broke on this was, in fact, false. But my sources who are close to the board of directors say otherwise. And, you know, this is something that MUFON's not used to. The good news is people who have reported UFOs and given their personal information, that information as of right now has not been touched. But I do know that the FBI and other intelligence agencies or other law enforcement agencies are looking into this.
Well, Dave Scott has given us a report on a data breach at MUFON, which is an organization that accepts your UFO reports and findings and keeps track of it and vets them to see which ones are serious and which ones are crayons. Dave Scott, you're the best. Thank you so much again for being on Sterling on Sunday. I look forward to being on your show, Dave Scott, a Canadian show. All right, it's 19 past the hour. 17 minutes past the hour means it's time for Lesbians in Space, and it's time for Lesbians in Space.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Who wears sports bras?
Whatever you're doing, you have to stop.
Whatever I'm doing, I never wanted this to happen.
I just had this feeling, like, I really wanted to kiss you again.
You know, I think it would be best if we just pretend this whole thing never happened.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien life with benefits.
888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. 888-688-WALT. Good evening. 24 past the hour. This is a national radio show. I'm coming to you in your car, 14 inches away from your ears. That's where that speaker is, this microphone, 14 inches away from my mouth. This is the most intimate and powerful medium. This is World Radio Week. World Radio Day is the 13th, and it celebrates radio. It's a function of UNESCO and the United Nations. And it recognizes the power and influence of radio around the country and around the world. What's always been fascinating to me is that the evolution of radio is dramatically different in every country. America was the first radio country, KDKA in Pittsburgh, which you and I are on right now. I'm on KDKA right now. Is Linda there? Hey, is Linda there, Sean? Sean? Well, let's talk to Linda. Linda, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi. Hi, Linda. Welcome to the big show.
Oh, thank you, Walter. And thank you for going into some of the things it takes to live in another country. I had a neighbor, had American citizenship, but originally she was born and raised in Canada. Her sister contacted her and suggested that she move back up there and they pool their resources and be together. Well, she didn't think it would be a problem getting a Canadian citizenship since she originally was born and raised there. She had quite a time getting back into Canada. People don't realize what it's like to just think you could easily move someplace else.
You know, Linda, the arrogance of these people saying, well, you know, if this doesn't happen in my way for me, I'm moving to Canada, without ever considering if Canadians want you, or if that's possible, or if Canadians would be happy to see you. The fact is, I've had the privilege of going to a number of countries around the world, Ireland, England, France, Italy, and Canada. There's no country harder to just visit than Canada. You want to go to Ireland? They don't even look at your passport. Come on in, no problem. You go to Canada, who are you seeing? Where are you staying? How long are you going to be there? And I'm standing there listening to this idiot asking me all these questions about my 4 days in Canada, and I just want to look at him and say, we build your cars. Knock it off. And, you know, but now you live in Albany, right?
Yes.
Now, you can drive to Canada anytime you want, can't you? Do you ever just do that? You ever just go to Canada for a day?
Well, we used to do that more often. And yes, it was interesting, the questions you got asked. But that was before 9/11. So it was easier getting in there, you know, before 9/11.
Absolutely. But you're right. It's if you go just for fun, search what does it take to be a citizen in and pick the country, Russia, China, pick the country, and you will be amazed at what they require to become a citizen compared to what we require, which is pretty much goodwill, determination, and hang around for 7 years and get a job. Whereas in these other countries, you have to be a permanent resident for 10 years. You have to demonstrate you can speak the language. To become a U.S. citizen, you don't even have to prove you can speak English, which is tragic to me.
Yes.
Thanks and for calling, Linda. No, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I noticed also you said, as far as somebody committing a crime, that would totally keep you from becoming a citizen of another
right.
country.
In every other country, especially Australia, Canada, Eritrea, Somalia, you commit a crime in those countries. You are never going to become a citizen. In fact, if you have a marijuana offense in the United States for many, many decades, you couldn't visit Canada. You had to present letters and proof that you were going to behave. Something as insignificant as that would keep you out of Canada. Thanks, Linda. Thanks for listening to the show, and thanks for being able to quote what I say.
Do you realize that because of you, this city is being overrun by baboons?
Well, isn't that the fault of the voters?
It's a spectacular Facebook page, Walter Sterling. That's the handle on Facebook, Walter Sterling. And let's see, on X, it's Walter M. Sterling. And I love to hear from you. Every email I get gets answered. WalterMSterling@gmail. WalterMSterling@gmail. Now, our website is world class, created by Lee Harris. You have to see it. WalterSterlingShow.com. WalterSterlingShow.com. You want to see this website because right at the top is all the information about joining me and my wife, Katie, for a trip to the French Riviera in October. This is the bucket list trip. This is the trip you have fantasized about all your life. Oh, it's too expensive. We can't afford it. If you can go to the Jersey Shore, South Beach, Miami, Santa Monica, Southern California, you can afford this. It's in October. Get the information. Go to WalterSterlingShow.com. WalterSterlingShow.com and just get the information.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. We had to drag a giant piano onto the beach at 6 a.m. And today I take the boys to the fabric store.
It's kind of like you're living my life today.
I guess it's Art Week at the Gaffney's house tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Samurai sword wielding psycho in the halls of Walmart. People of Walmart, later, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bra?
I would like want to like sneak over to your bed, but I didn't know. It was scary because if I had to put my feelings out there and you ended up with Nick, then I would have lost you as a friend. I'll be honest with you, Jamie. Like, I had feelings for you in the house. Just know that. So nice to hear.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
Walmart is the number one billing company in the world. Not just the United States, not North America. More people spend their money at Walmart than any other place. Just north of Portland, Oregon, there's a wonderful hamlet called Vancouver, Washington. Yeah, some of my nephews live there. It's a beautiful place, lower taxes than Oregon, so thus, that's why a lot of people live there. Vancouver, Washington is also the home of many an awesome Walmart. Recently, Psycho, Samurai Sword, marching around the aisles of the Walmart. And also an example of cultural appropriation. Store evacuated 43-year-old Robbie Saxena, who probably is not Japanese. Samurai sword is actually a sacred item among our Japanese American friends. This feller named Robbie was threatening people throughout the Walmart, especially in the condiment aisle. Why the condiment aisle? I have no idea, but perhaps he had an unnatural attraction towards mustard or was angry that Walmart was selling that wonderful and delicious Chick-fil-A sauce. Apparently, this psychopath, according to the police, also had a 5-inch long knife in his pocket. When you go to Walmart, show up with a smile, leave your swords at home. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool, Sterling at night.
All right, coming up, we have the Gaffneys in just seconds. Good evening on the sevens, 3707. 1747, Lesbians in Space on the Sevens. You know how some lame radio stations are always doing traffic on the tens, traffic on the eights. We have Lesbians in Space on the Sevens. Good evening. Look at you. Driving across the highway, Route 80, up and down the Jersey Turnpike, the Garden State Parkway, I-90, otherwise known as the Luge, the I-5, the 101. Good evening. This is what radio is supposed to sound like. It's not supposed to sound like, oh, the Democrats. Ruff, 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 ruff. Sounds like a bunch of dead barking dogs where your demographics are near death just for barking at the Democrats. What the hell is that? Why don't you talk about your day? I would so much like to hear any one of these other hosts on any format talk about their day. My day goes like this. I have an 11-year-old who's a special needs kid. She's a challenged child. And she's beautiful and articulate, and you would like her. She knows how to get you to like her. That's her secret power. She knows how to make friends instantly. She's a wizard at making friends. And she speaks at grade level. She's a beautiful voice. She speaks well. She has complex thoughts. But she reads at kindergarten level, even though she's in the fifth grade, and she really can't write. She can't handwrite. She can't physically write. She can tell a story. She can construct a story, no problem. But I have now been banned from the Zoom calls for her individual educational program, her IEP program. I have been banned from the Zoom calls because you won't believe this. In the Zoom meetings, they say things like, oh, it's so good to have Samantha. We love having Samantha go into the classroom. She's so terrific. She smiles, her smile light up. I'm like, I don't care. This is not a fashion show. I want Samantha to be able to read. And then they bring up other issues. She's wonderful. Kids like her. And I'm like, no, no. I want Samantha to be able to read. And at some point, they are tired of me saying, I want Samantha to read. I'm tired of this. I don't care about her social skills. Her social skills are fine. And finally, they got tired of me saying, do your job. That's what I was saying. Do your job. I wanted to read. They got tired of that, and they banned me from these calls. I'm not allowed on the Zoom calls anymore. It's a tragedy. This is a bright kid. Now, they have thrown all the special ed they can at her, but when I said, well, she hates music. Why can't we eliminate music and give her another session of reading? I'm on the next Zoom call. There's six people there, and somebody in charge says, well, we can't just have one person decide she's not going to take music anymore. This has to be a team decision. What? This has to be a team. Wait, I didn't say math and reading. I said music. Music, a completely voluntary, discretionary, optional course. Gets me so upset. Well, this has to be a team decision. Like, no. Finally, I've called the superintendent. I said, I can't believe I had to hear that it was a team decision to drop music and take more reading. Finally, the truth came out. We just don't have any more slots for more reading help. Well, I don't care. I got one kid. She's 11. She needs to be able to read. I don't care what your problems are. My job is to make sure she can read, write, and do math. That's my job. She wants to be a firefighter. How cool is that? She wants to be a paramedic. How cool is that? Well, she'll need to be able to read. And she wanted to be a paramedic for years now. So I'm damn sure she's going to become a paramedic, but she's going to need to be able to read, and I expect them to teach her that. You would not believe the crap that I get, which is so profound and so prevalent that I can't even repeat all of it because it's so embarrassing. And Mrs. Sterling would be very upset with me if I told you everything that goes on with that school. No, we can't have one person decide that she isn't going to take music. Here's my email, waltermsterling@gmail.com. I answer every email, waltermsterling@gmail.com. And we got that great website, waltersterlingshow.com. This is Sterling on Sunday.
I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
We're here to tell you tales of living with our eight kids in that old broken down house.
And this week we added a broken down piano to our collection of things.
I think that piano weighs about a ton.
I think that, yeah, I would say a ton. I can't argue with you there. It was a lot heavier than I thought it would be. One of the kids is releasing a new single this week, and he needed some art, and in that art, he needed a piano on the beach, which I didn't think was a great idea. But I thought, hey, if we can find a gutted piano, we can have it out there on the beach by sunrise. So we found a gutted piano, which still ended up weighing more than I ever could have imagined it would.
Imagine this. We borrow the pickup truck. We get the piano right during a time when we had dinner reservations.
Yes,
which
we did.
There's another story. Then we get the piano 6 in the morning on the beach, and five of us,
yeah,
carrying out on the sand. It took every ounce of strength and that many people to get it out there.
Yes, but I had a plan. I had thought this through. I had called people. I knew where to get it on the beach, the easiest way. We did it.
Meanwhile, the other children are in the midst of their puppet-making project.
One of the kids discovered he likes puppets, so he decided he was going to make the puppets. And I'm in the living room. I hear in the other room the sewing machine, full speed ahead, going.
This is not Sherry Lewis sock puppet. This is giant Muppet-level arms, full face.
Sculpted eyes. He made the eyes out of clay.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I think I'm going to have to post this so that people can see what he's actually done here. But he decided, since he finished one last night he needed some fur, some green fur. So we've hunted it down. And today, while I'm having crochet club with the girls, you get to go to
crochet club,
to the fabric store.
I had
with the boys.
Visions of taking the boys out for like wings and pizza.
Now come on, you know that wasn't going to happen. It's Super Bowl Sunday,
but instead we're going to the fabric store.
Which you've spent most of your childhood in a fabric store with your mother, so this isn't anything new to you. You know exactly where to go. He said, well, what do I do, Mom? How do I tell him how much I want? I said, it's okay. Daddy can handle the fabric store. He knows how to do it.
This is what you get when you homeschool and art class is happening at the same time.
I will actually say, I don't think it really has a whole lot to do with homeschooling. I think it has to do with the fact that we have a house full of artists. Every adult in our family works professionally in entertainment, and every kid seems like they're on their way. We're going to have puppet shows galore here any day.
Let's get one of those big tour buses with our name on the side, and we can travel the country.
Do you know when I was a kid that I imagined that I would have the Partridge Family? I really did think that I was going to have the Partridge Family driving around in a bus. So it might just be puppets. Who knows?
Wow. Sponsored by Sterling on Sunday. It's the Gaffneys.
I hardly think that would be a sold-out show.
Follow me on Facebook, Dan Gaffney Show.
And if you're looking for me, I'm on Instagram as Just Being Mom.
Dan and Becky, Sterling on Sunday.
If you look at the participants in this song, that's what friends are for. You will see that every single member of this group, Elton John, Stevie Wonder, Gladys Knight, every member of this group is in the Rock Hall of Fame, except for one. See if you can guess. Yes, every member is in the Rock Hall of Fame except for Dionne Warwick. But not Dionne Warwick, who had hit after hit after hit from Burt Bacharach and Hal David from 1961 until the mid-70s. If you combine all of these other artists, they don't equal the number of records sold by Dionne Warwick. She has never been nominated. She's not in the Rock Hall of Fame. How is that possible? And everybody who sang That's What Friends Are For, they're in the Rock Hall of Fame, except for Dionne Warwick. And then I'm like, well, who comes up with these nominees? Well, they send it out to 1,000 musicians across the country after the nominees are stated, and there's a public vote. But I'm like, who's on this board? Well, you know what? Most of the people on this board define a classic rock listener. Most of them are about 70 years old. They're not 70 members. They're about 70 years old. And they sort of define what a classic rock listener is. They define a Doors listener, somebody who listens to the Doors and loves them. Now, the association, are they in the Rock Hall of Fame? No. Now, did they sell more songs than the Doors? Yeah. But they're not in the Rock Hall of Fame. And Dionne Warwick's not in the Rock Hall of Fame. How is that possible? And I'm sorry. I'm supposed to be cool and pretend like I know everything, but I'm not a very good talk show host. We can agree on that. A Tribe Called Quest? I've never heard of A Tribe Called Quest. And most of my life, I programmed very big music stations. And I don't know who they are. Now I've got to search it later. But it's amazing to me. Dionne Warwick, for America, I apologize to you that you have never been nominated and that you're not in the Rock Hall of Fame. It's just, has she ever been nominated? Maybe she's been nominated, but she sure ain't in there. It's unbelievable. I want to stay in touch with you. Can we do that? Walter Sterling at Facebook and our killer website, waltersterlingshow.com. Get the information about our trip to the French Riviera. It's going to be a bucket list trip. It'll be just fantastic. We'll have the best time, you and me. in October, 10 days. Get the information. It's not a wearisome tour. It is an exclusive group vacation made for Midnight Misfits from scratch by Colette Travel, based on what they've heard on this show, this amazing live radio show, this coast-to-coast radio show. Oh, my gosh. And there's Bill Wright at KFBK. Thank you, Bill Wright. And we are on Lobster Radio in Maine. Remind me, we have to talk to the people at Lobster Radio. I have to hear what the format is at Lobster Radio. I think that's a fair goal. All right, that's what I got for you tonight. Send me an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com, waltermsterling@gmail.com. What have we learned tonight? We've learned that Michael Harrison is the lead in a brand new Gun Hill Road song that's really, really good. And the greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.